It's always a blessing to see them perform and do things for the Lord. That's what it's all about. It's a blessing that, you know, you as parents bring your children week after week. You as a church support these kids week after week. Coming here during Awanas, taking up some of your service time. You clap for them when they get awards. You clap for them when they close in prayer. That's what it's all about. We're raising up the next generation of Christian warriors to love and serve the Lord. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of Mary's heart, for allowing us to be a part of your children's life. And thank you, church, for allowing them to be a part of your life. We do appreciate all the adults that's helped put everything together. It takes a whole team effort, and we do thank the Lord for them. But if you got your Bibles this morning, I want to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I want to talk to you just for a few moments as we close out the service, get ready for invitation time, a time for us to respond about this subject, this question I would like to submit to you this morning, this question I would like to ask you to consider. And that is, what are we seeking? What are we seeking? When you think about Easter, Jesus, Mary, the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, I mean, really, what was the main goal of it all? I mean, what was the purpose of Jesus, the people, everything surrounding these great life-changing events that happened around the time that we call Easter? What was the purpose? Well, of course, we can find the answer nowhere else but the Scriptures. So in Matthew chapter 26 is where we'll pick up reading. And just the setting and the context of this passage, Jesus has already been anointed at Bethany. Jesus has partaken in the Last Supper with his disciples. Judas has already went to the chief priest, has already sought to betray Jesus Christ. So in short, God's predestined plan for Jesus Christ, it's unfolding quite rapidly at this point in the Scripture. So Matthew chapter 26 and verse 36 is where we'll pick up reading. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again the second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and he went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith to them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go, let us be going. Behold, he is at the hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people." Pray with me. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for being a God that is so powerful you can speak the world into existence. A God is so powerful that you can breathe the stars out of your mouth. And Father, I pray that right here, that right now, that we would cleanse our hearts, Father, from all unrighteousness. And Father, I pray that you would use your Holy Spirit to lead us as we study through your word. Lord, speak to us today through your word. We're asking you, Father, to fill us. Fill us, Lord, with your desires. Fill us, Lord, with what you want us to do in our lives. It's in your precious and sweet name I pray. Amen. What are we seeking? First of all, I'd like to look at how that Jesus actively sought God's kingdom and God's will. He actively sought God's kingdom and God's will. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, was perfectly seeking God's will. When we think about Jesus' death, his burial, his resurrection, it's easy for us to get selfish and only think about what that did for us. Yes, Jesus did die, taking our sins upon himself. Yes, Jesus was buried in the tomb for 3 days. And yes, he did in fact rise from the grave, defeating our sin once and for all. That was that paid in full stamp on our sins. But it wasn't just for us. Jesus asked the Father in this passage, God the Father, 3 times, if there was another way. Jesus didn't ask us what we thought. He didn't ask us if we had a better idea. Jesus asked the one of who he sought to do his will. Jesus did all this to glorify God, to glorify his heavenly Father in heaven. Jesus was seeking God's kingdom. He was seeking God's will. Jesus did all that because he wanted to seek the will of the Father. John chapter 14, verse 28 and 31 says, ye have heard now, I said unto you, I go away and come unto you again. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. In verse 31, it says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Jesus said in verse 28 that the Father, God, was greater than he was. This shows that Jesus was in complete submission to the Father. Complete submission to whatever the Father wanted him to do, Jesus was going to do it. Jesus said in verse 31 that God gave him commandment and he did it. Jesus perfectly sought and did the will of God the Father. It was God's kingdom, God's will, God's desires that Jesus sought and perfectly accomplished. Every command, every plan, every desire or will that God had for Jesus was fulfilled in complete submission by none other than Jesus Christ himself. So first, Jesus sought God's kingdom and God's will. Secondly, Jesus commands us to seek God's kingdom and God's will. Flip on over to Matthew chapter 6. I guess flip back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. And this scripture, it's a part of the great Sermon on the Mount. And if you know anything about the Sermon on the Mount, man, what a passage that tells us as Christians what we need to do and how that we need to live and how that we need to follow the Lord. It's a sermon packed full of truths, those treasures that we need to unveil, those treasures that we need to study. So let's pick up reading Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Jesus said, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these sayings do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. In verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus, in this great sermon, he starts this portion of scriptures by telling us as Christians what we are not to seek. We are not to seek, as verse 32 says, what the Gentiles seek. Gentiles here, that would be like the world, the secular group. The Gentiles were a worldly people. And what did the worldly people seek? They sought worldly things. They sought worldly things in everything that they did. Why? Because the Gentiles had no eternal hope. They had no hope. The only thing that they knew to do so that they could try to cope with this issue that they had no hope was to try to satisfy their soul by 2 things. They satisfied their soul by pleasing their physical welfare and then with their physical appearance. I mean, they would eat and they would drink it up. They would try to be as physically attractive as they could, adorning themselves with clothes and all this jewelry. The Gentiles were seeking the world. They took things in, food, drinks, false gods, rituals to try to satisfy their soul. Remember, they had no hope. They put things on like clothes and jewelry and makeup to try to satisfy their soul. They thought like the world because they sought the world. They talked like the world because they sought the world. They craved the world because it was the world that they sought. It was the world that Gentiles were seeking. And Jesus was very clear when he said to not seek what the Gentiles sought. Jesus didn't just leave us with the don'ts. He gave us the do's. What is it that we need to do? We see that in verse 33. I love this passage. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." You see, we as believers are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The word kingdom here is not talking about an actual place. It's not talking about an actual geographical territory. The word kingdom is talking about God's rule, God's sovereign rule in our lives. We are to first seek God's rule. In order to seek God's kingdom, we must first seek the king. And this king is King Jesus. You see, it's through King Jesus that we can inherit a place in God's kingdom. It's through King Jesus that we can be a part of God's kingdom. It's through King Jesus that we're allowed to serve in God's kingdom. It's through this King Jesus that we're allowed to live in God's kingdom. It's through King Jesus that we can obtain righteousness that makes us fit for God's kingdom. We as Christians must first seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness in our lives. We must first seek him in everything we do. We must seek God's righteousness in every decision we make. We must seek God's kingdom around every corner that we turn. We must seek God's kingdom in the difficult situations we face and the easy situations we face. We must first seek God's kingdom and his righteousness. As we close out the service today, I'd like to share something with you. You probably thought I might be playing with blocks. I don't know what you thought when I was putting these up here. But if you look at this plate, it represents our life. Our life. And all these things that we have going on in our lives. I mean, just to name the few, I mean, how many people has got a career? Yeah. We got careers. It's on our plate. What about family? Yeah, that's important to us. We've got family on our plates. What about our kids? Man, I love my kids to death, and nobody better mess with them. I love my kids. My kids are on my plate. I can promise you that. What about church? There's a lot of things that goes on in church. A lot of activities, a lot of things to do. We've got church on our plates. What about school, students? Yeah, school, test, quizzes, spelling words, reading, all this stuff. We've got it on our plate. What about our social status? What our friends and what our families think about us? We've got that on our plate. What about all these TV shows and movie networks that we watch? We've got it on our plate. And all these things, we keep adding and adding to our plate. And before you know it, our plate is completely full. But what's wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this picture is the thing that should be on our plate. We leave no room for him. We leave no room for the king. We leave no room for King Jesus. But if we're going to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, how can this be? How can we not leave room for the King of God's kingdom? How can we do that when he left all that he had on the cross? How can we do that when he gave every single ounce of his energy? He poured out his blood for us on the cross, but yet we get our plates so full of stuff that we don't leave room for King Jesus. What we should do is seek God's kingdom first by seeking the king. We should first seek what Jesus wants in our lives. We should first want His desires to do His will in our lives. You see, if we put Jesus first and foremost, if we have our devotions, if we have our quiet times, if we do all those things that He commands us to do in the Scriptures, everything else will fall in place, because it's through biblical lenses of the Scriptures, it's through Jesus Christ that we'll know what to add to our plate. Because a lot of these things are good things. I mean, sports. Sports can be a good thing to teach our young people how that they need to be a part of a team so that they can serve together. But when we take sports and we put them before Jesus Christ, what have we done? We've messed up. We've messed up. When we take our careers and we put them before Jesus Christ and we don't let Jesus Christ guide us in what we need to do, we've totally missed the point of life. We're totally missing the blessings that God wants to bless us with. These blocks can mean anything. I know some people that are so caught up on what they believe, they miss the blessings of everything else in life. All they can talk about is something that they're caught up on. And I'm thinking, you're missing the blessings of life. You have a family. You have a husband. You have a wife. They're a blessing to you. Don't miss that. Seek first the kingdom of God, and then you can add whatever else that Jesus wants us to do through the guidance of the Holy Scriptures, through the guidance of His Word. We'll add what's important. But you know what the good thing is? If we seek Jesus first, and everything that we do, He won't be able to fall off the plate. We won't push Him off. We'll have our quiet times. We'll love Him. We'll serve Him, because He's first and foremost in our lives. So with that in mind, we've heard songs sung today that talked about the grace that was greater than all our sin. We saw the kids do the motions to worthy. Oh, how worthy was a lamb that was slain. He was slain for us. But let's not miss the point. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. Seek ye first, not second, not third, not fourth. Seek the King first. So as we all stand to our feet, the ladies are going to come forward for a time of invitation. And I would ask you to consider that this morning. You can't stand there and tell me that this don't convict every single person in this building. I've been convicted since I saw somebody do this for the first time. Everything that I do in my life, it should be all for the King. Whether I'm leading my family, whether I'm going to my job, it's all for the King. It's all for God's righteousness. It's all for God's kingdom. So I would ask you, are you willing to repent of your wrongs? Am I willing to repent where I've fallen short and fall down before a holy God and say, God, here I am. I'm putting You first in my life. Lord, use me. Use me, Father. And I promise You, He will use you, because He's got your whole life planned out. He's got a predestined plan that He wants you to do. He's got a will for your life. But you got to be willing to be used. Will you let God use you here this morning? There may be somebody here, there's never been a time in their life when they've truly been humbled before a holy God because they are a sick, wretched sinner. If you're that person here today and you've never been saved, I pray that you would come to God in forgiveness. You would ask Him to forgive your sins, repent of your wrongs, and put your total faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Stan's going to be down front. I'm going to be down front. We got counselors down front. Are you seeking God first? Are you seeking God and His kingdom first?